Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
I'm still glad when they say unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Yeah. Whether it's on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it doesn't matter when it is. And I'm glad to be there, be in His presence, and see what God's going to do for us in this house tonight. Amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise tonight. He's great. Greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. And for our visitors that are with us tonight, we're just so glad you're here. Thank you for being with us. Let's give our visitors a hand tonight. We're so glad you're here with us. I know we've got students getting ready or maybe in the midst of midterms and things like that. We'll be praying for our college students this week and as they finish up and get ready. I guess you'll be hitting for fall break soon, so... Love our kids in school, our UGA students. I'm old enough to call anybody a kid that's younger than me now. So I know they're young adults, but we do love them, appreciate them very much. And just good to be in the house of the Lord with everybody tonight. Amen. Praise God. God's good. God's good. You know, before I get started, don't run all over the building, but turn around right near you and greet somebody in Jesus' name. Tell them you're glad to be in the house of the Lord with them. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The Lord is good. Samuel chapter 24. I'm going to read starting at verse 10 and just kind of fill in some gaps here in just a moment, but just get this scripture read where you can be seated tonight. I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart during prayer last night and just couldn't get away from it. A couple of things as I was studying, just it kept coming around, so I decided I would quit resisting the Lord and just go ahead and do what He wanted me to do. You know, it's sometimes you got a message you think you'd rather preach, and He's like, yeah, but this one's what I want you to preach, so I'd rather do what He wanted. Amen. 1 Samuel 24 and verse 10, David is speaking, and he's talking to King Saul. He said, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill you, but my eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for He is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. Now, I've preached from this title before, used this before, but I really feel last night the Lord just kept dealing with me on this, and so tonight, just for a little while on this thought, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Praise God. That's a lesson we need to learn, isn't it? Just because we can doesn't mean that we should. Let's pray together for the teaching of the word tonight. Lord, we love you and thank you for your mercy and grace tonight, your goodness, all that you do for us. And Lord, tonight, let us hear what the Spirit would say. Help me for just a little while to say something that would encourage and help and strengthen us as your people, God. We want to be better. We want to be more like you. We want to be changed and challenged. Lord, we want to be ready to meet you when you come. So help us tonight to hear it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Clap your hands real good to the Lord before you're seated tonight. God's good all the time. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. As humans, God has given us free will. And that's a great blessing that we are not puppets and robots of anybody. The scripture does tell us whoever we yield ourselves to serve, that's whose servants we are. But that's a choice to yield. We have free will. We have liberty. God has blessed us with Christian liberty. We can make choices every day. We can decide what we want to do, what we want to eat, where we want to go, how we want to get to work. We can decide to sleep in or get up early. It's just choice after choice after choice. But, you know, sometimes we are presented with things that we could do, but it doesn't mean we should. There are some things that, especially in this world today, the world really would love for us to just do whatever we feel like, thinking that there would be no consequences. But there are consequences to every action. If I remember anything from my science classes in school, it was that for every action, there is a reaction. The thing about that is then for every reaction, there's a reaction. And until somebody stops, it just keeps going. And that's what's going on in the world today, is that for every action, there's a reaction, and then another reaction, and another reaction. And sometimes we may feel like we have the right, and maybe even we do, but just because we can doesn't mean we should. Just because we can post about it doesn't mean we should. Just because we can talk about it doesn't mean we should. I'm trying to help you. Last night I was felt led just to read a little bit about what David said in his life, and he made in Psalm 37, he made some statements. And I started out saying, you know, David had the anointing of the Lord on his life. One day he's minding his own business and the prophet shows up at his house and God points him out as the next king. And so Samuel pours the oil of God upon his head and anoints him, declares him that he will be a king, the king in Israel, a man after God's own heart. And you think, man, now I've got that anointing, everything is just going to be great. But I spent time reading through the Psalms last night as we were praying after I had read that, and I read words that David said where he would say that I am sorrowful, that I am weak, that I am ready to halt, he said in one place. The word halt, though, means to fall. He talked about how he had no strength and that his eyes, the light was going from his eyes. Just because we are the anointed of God does not mean we will not face situations and trials and tests and troubles. But he said, you know, don't worry about people who don't live for God. That don't be envious against them. He said, they're going to be cut down like the grass. They're going to wither as the green herb. He said, for us, we trust in the Lord and do good. In the presence of evil, trust in the Lord and do good. In the presence of troubles and trials and tests, trust the Lord and do good. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever plan God has got for your life, he didn't give anything else power to undermine it. Only we can stop the plan of God in our life. There is no devil in hell. There is no power greater than the call and the anointing and the name and the blood and the Spirit of our God. And when God puts that on our life and gets us started, when we obey the call to come and follow him, when he lets us know, I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light, then I know that that doesn't mean that I'm going to just have it easy every day until I see him one day in glory. I know that there are going to be fiery trials that will try my faith. I know that there will be valleys of the shadow of death. I know there will be desert places, and I know that there will be storms. I know that it won't always be the high of the mountaintop. You know, sometimes we just glory over the mountaintop, but you know, storms still happen on the mountaintop. People die at the highest parts of the mountain. So don't we get this culture in our mind that the mountaintop is going to be the end all be all, but that's where a lot of people die, on the mountaintop. You got to pay attention wherever you are. You got to trust God whether you're on the mountain high or the valley low. You've got to believe that God's got you in his hand. And as I began to think about that last night, I was thinking about David, how he was hunted and persecuted, javelins thrown at him. He was treated for no reason except for Saul's jealousy as Saul's enemy. And we've all had times in our life where we were treated unfairly. Maybe we were lied about, persecuted, just talked about, posted about, whatever. No really legitimate reason, just somebody else's pettiness. And many times the opportunity will present itself to get them, to show them, I'm going to hurt them. I'm going to take their legs out from under them. I'm going to get them back. But just because you could do that, and maybe you would even feel justified in your flesh to do that, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Don't give in. David was in this story. David and his men were being pursued by Saul and his army, and they had found themselves in a cave hiding. Well, it just happened that Saul and his men decided to come and take a nap in that very cave. And while they slept, David's men said, "This is the hand of the Lord. God has delivered your enemy into your hand." He said, "Go and smite him. Let's kill him while they sleep. Let's get him right now. Let's do this thing." And David had enough sense to not listen to all these cheerleaders of hate and cheerleaders of vengeance and these people that said, "Hey, David, let's go get them. I'm tired of being chased. I'm tired of being pursued. I'm tired of all this nonsense. Let's just go ahead and end this now." And David said, "God forbid that I should do that and put my hand to the anointed of the Lord." Because no matter what he's doing right now, he was anointed by the same prophet that anointed me. I'm not going to do this thing. And so just to prove a point, he went and he cut the piece of the hem of Saul's garment off. And even that smote David's heart. It hurt him that he even did that. But he used that as a testimony, as we read, to show Saul, "When I could have done it, I didn't do it." But David, he's chased you. He's lied about you. And if he could, he would kill you. If he'd have found you asleep in this cave, you'd never woke up. He would have took you out. But you're telling me now that you could do this thing? Now that here it is, God, it's right here. Even David said, "God has delivered you into my hands." Sometimes God's going to see what you'll do with the situation. What will we do when we're presented? Will we keep our witness? Will we be who we say we are? Will we stay children of God who are long-suffering and patient and merciful and gracious? Or will we lash out at the very first opportunity and get them back. Pay them back. Make them suffer. Make them wish they'd never said it. Well, just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And if you want to hurt your witness and your walk with God, go ahead and let that wrath and that bitterness just well up in you. Go ahead, get them back and see how quickly nobody trusts you anymore. You know, David, you know, I even would believe that if David had took a sword to Saul while he lay there, the very act of watching him kill a man in his sleep, it would have changed their mind instantly. Wow, he really did it. Thought he was a man after God. I thought he was a Christian. You know, that's what they're going to say about you when you fire back. I thought you went to church. I thought you served the Lord. I thought you was a Christian. And you said that, said this. Yeah, but they said, it's funny how they won't remember what they said, but they're going to remember what you did. Yeah, because they've been watching you. And when I was last night, I was walking and praying and sitting and reading and coming on, and I remembered a scripture, something that the Apostle Paul had written, and he said the same thing in two different places in the letter that he wrote to the church in Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 12, he said this: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Just leave that up for a minute. He said, and I know he was talking about a different situation that he was dealing with in that church, but the principle is there, that just because I can doesn't mean I will, and it doesn't mean I should, because even though all things are lawful unto me, they are not expedient. They're not helpful. They don't do any good. There's no benefit in them. All they do is make things worse. All they do is stir the pot. All they do is keep trouble going. And so it might be my right. I might be okay if I did it, but would it help anything at all? Because you can't just do it and then tell everybody else to get over it. This just how I am. And if you don't like, well, then you're going to find yourself alone, alone and sad and bitter. But when you will remember, just because I can doesn't mean I should. He said, it's lawful, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of it. You go ahead and head down that road of vengeance and revenge. And whoever the scripture tells me, whoever I yield my members to obey, that's whose servant I become. And you will become a servant of bitterness. You'll become a servant of unforgiveness and hate and all kind of awful, nasty things. But when you will just simply be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, loving one another, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven you. Come on, somebody. Let brotherly love continue. That's what I want. If I'm going to be under the power of any, I want to be under the power of the Scripture. I want to be patient and gentle and long-suffering and merciful and compassionate. Friend, I don't want to hate nobody. I don't want to get nobody back. I don't want to keep firing shots at somebody. I want to live peaceably with all men as much as it lies within me. I want to be able to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Yeah, maybe I could, and maybe I would be justified in some eyes. Maybe some people would even encourage me to fire back. But what good would it do? Would it help anybody? Would it encourage anybody? The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Not back talk, not gossip, not lying, not cheating, not stealing, not acting out, but love. When you can love somebody, friend, they got no defense. Love covers a multitude of sin, and love never fails. Oh, you ought to give the Lord a hand. I'm telling you today that we don't have to accept
the world's culture and the world's vision of how we ought to act and react. But we can be the church of the Most High God. He's the living God and He's the loving God. Come on, somebody. He loved us at our worst, and we got to do our best to love people at their worst. And we got to love them when they love us, and we got to love them when they don't love us. We got to do what God wants us to do, not what we always want to do. God wants us to be more like Him. It's our flesh that rises up and says, get them. The scripture says about the Lord, when they lied on Him, arrested Him, accused Him, beat Him, nailed Him to that tree, said, He didn't answer nobody. He didn't speak a word. He didn't say anything. He held His peace. And you know what today? The world says that's weakness. He was meek and lowly, the scripture said. But He also had all power in heaven and earth. Meekness is not weakness. Humility is not cowardice. Now, you go back to Psalm 37 and 38 and read those psalms and read the scriptures where He said, I held my tongue. I kept my mouth. Basically, He said, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't even speak good things. I didn't say nothing, because the Bible tells me that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. If you don't keep feeding it, it ain't gonna, people will get tired of messing with you if you'll just quit agging it on. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. You know what causes that fire? The tongue. It says it's a fire of iniquity. It loves to talk. It loves to gossip. It loves to lie. It loves to add things on. And woo, it says what a great, with that little bitty member, but what a great, great fire and what great trouble it causes. I want to get myself under subjection. I want to get my members under subjection. And I want to yield to the Lord. I want to walk in His ways. I want to delight in His word. I want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth His fruit in His season. I want to prosper and be a blessing to somebody, not a curse. I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. I don't want somebody to have bitterness in their life because of me. Praise God. And this is what the Lord would talk to us about in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, in verse 38. He said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. See, this is old preaching that don't get preached no more, because the world doesn't line up like this. The world wants you to tweet about them. If they said this, you tweet back. If they post this, you post back. If they throw this, you throw that back. It just let's just keep the fighting, keep the division, keep the anger, keep the hate, keep all that stuff going so this world will just be unstable. But we are supposed to be a light in a dark place. We are supposed to be salt in the earth. We're supposed to be something different. We need to accept the mantle that God placed on the bride. Be the church and stand different from the world. Don't fight and bicker. He said, the only way people will know you're my disciples is when you love one another. You got to love each other. You got to do it. This ain't an option. You've got to love each other. So He said, whoever smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever will compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that ask of thee. And from him that would borrow of you, turn him not away. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so you can be the children of your Father. When you read that scripture, does that little that right there not just prick your heart? Because he said, you do this, that, or so you can be the children of your Father. You can't be the children of your Father holding on to hate and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. You can't hate, the scripture says it, you can't love God who you've never seen and hate your brother who you have seen. You can't do it because he's made in the image of God. So love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so you can be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, that's cultish. Don't just be talking to people that's members of your church. I can't talk to nobody but the ones in my four walls. If you salute your brethren only, then what more do you, that's what the publicans also do. He said, be ye therefore perfect. He didn't mean like without fault. He said, be perfect. That means complete in growth, mental and moral character. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. People say it's just impossible, but it's not impossible if we give ourselves to the Word. The Scripture says that if I abide in the Word, then I abide in the light. And if I abide in the light, there is no occasion for me to stumble. Come on, somebody. What we got to get back to is living to the Word of God. We got to get back to the Scripture. We got to quit expecting, come on, we got to quit expecting one church service to fix us. And we've got to get back to eating our daily bread. We can't show up on Sunday and say, give me a whole week's worth of bread. He said, give me this day my daily bread. I want my daily bread. I want a daily walk with him. I want to walk with him daily. I don't want to show up on Sunday and say, give me 7 days worth of blessings. You can't take it. That's why it don't usually take. People that only show up once a week, that's why it don't usually take. But when you come and make a lifestyle of living for God, when it comes down to the choice, you'll be able to say, well, just because I can doesn't mean I will. Just because you should or could doesn't mean you should. You'll make the right decisions because you're living your life by the Scripture. We need the Word of God. Oh, clap your hands for the Word. I want to do what's right. I'm going to have to back up. Go back to 1 Corinthians and do 10 and 23, because here's where Paul repeated himself. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Just because you can. You need to use that as a test. Who's this going to help? Who's this going to edify? If I post this, is it going to help or is it going to hurt? If I make that text, if I make that phone call, is it going to help or is it going to hurt? And God forbid that you've got a ministry where you're going across a pulpit and speaking to people, that you use that anger and that hatred and that bitterness to spew ugliness to the congregation and to the sheep of God. Oh, because you got a whole set of problems, new set of problems coming then. But instead, is what I preach, is what I say, is what I do, is what I project, is that going to edify or is it going to tear down? Am I lifting up? Am I encouraging? Am I strengthening? Am I helping or am I hurting? Am I a helping hand or am I a stumbling block? What do you want to be in the kingdom? David did not want to be a stumbling block. Paul did not want to be a stumbling block. And he was telling them ways. He said, just because you can do something, if it's going to be offensive and cause somebody else to stumble, then don't do it. You say, well, that's not fair. It ain't about fair. It's about, does it help your brother? Was it fair that they nailed him who was sinless to a cross? No, but he went anyway because he knew it would help. Come on, somebody. Was it fair how they treated him while he walked this earth? No, but he did it and he endured it because that was the way it was meant to be, so he could save you and me and give us an example of how we ought to treat other people in the face of adversity. And if he could stand it, you and I can stand it. We can take the heat, honey. It can happen. We can do it. You don't have to fight back. You don't have to swing and kick and punch and curse. You can just be like the Lord and love people anyway. It can happen. You say, that was him. Well, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I should not be overtaken by anything in this world because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. My emotions should not run away with me. I'm not saying we're not emotional, but we should not be governed by our emotions. We should not be let our emotions lead us around. We should be led by the Spirit. Because if we're led by the Spirit, we are the sons of God. The Spirit says it will only lead you into truth. It won't lead you to bitterness. It won't lead you to wrath. It won't lead you to anger. It won't lead you to hate. Some people would say, David, you missed a great opportunity. To not kill Saul was not a missed opportunity. Unless you mean he missed an opportunity to keep trouble going. Yeah, he could have killed him and just started a blood feud. Had the rest of the family after him. Yeah. You do that stuff. That's why it's so dangerous. That's one thing I don't like social media. That's the thing I don't like about it. Is because whenever you get on there, you step out on that limb and you post that controversial thing, you're going to have those people that are going to ag you on, that just want to push you farther and farther and farther. And they haven't seen you, probably haven't spoke to you in person in years, but they're going to jump right on there and push you over the edge because that's what they see. Yeah, you ought to get them. You can't let nobody talk to you like that. You can't let nobody do that to you. Keep your private business off social media. My goodness. Keep that stuff off of there. Share good stuff. Share pictures of your grandbabies. Share pictures of deer you kill. Show pictures of your car. Show pictures of your girlfriend and your boyfriend, your wife, and your children. But keep all that garbage. Just keep it out. Why? People say, I ain't about all that drama. Well, you wouldn't know it by what you're posting. Social media has caused more disruption. You can say, believe it or not, but social media has, for the good that it does too, and I know that people share the gospel on it, they post good, I know there's good stuff on there, I know that, but I'm not so sure that at this point there's enough good to outweigh the bad. Because it just seems like, I know in the world that wicked men and seducers are waxing worse. I know that Jesus said perilous times would come. I know that it's coming. And this is the way the world communicates. This is how they share stuff. And now with AI and all the different things, you don't even know what's real. But you believe in it anyway. And you don't even know if it's true. But you know what makes you think it's true? It connects with your emotion. It ain't connecting with the Spirit of God in you. It's connecting with your emotion. And you're living off your emotion. But the Word of God will help you see clearly. When we did this last social media fast, the best thing to me that has ever happened, because I have been on there less and less ever since we quit the fast, after we got off the fast, it's less and less that I'm on there. And I'm not missing it. I'm not missing it. I'm not, and I'm not so sure that I'm about this close to just shutting mine down and going back to old school, getting a flip phone or something. I don't know. I might get, what they call it, a cricket. Is that what we were talking about the other day? Yeah, drop it in the water. We're going kayaking, brother, and we're going to drop that phone in the river like we did. Yeah, Man, let's all go to the Grand Canyon and throw our phones in the river. I'd finance that trip. Praise God. I don't want to keep trouble going, stir the pot, because I want to give my 2 cents. That 2 cents is going to buy you more trouble. They say them pennies ain't worth nothing anymore. They're going to quit making pennies. You know that. They're going to stop making them. It's just 2 cents, but it buys more trouble. Woo! It's bad. Stop it. Quit putting wood on the fire. What happened there really in that cave, it was an opportunity for David to be blessed. It was an opportunity for David to be the man of God that he said he was all along, to maintain his integrity and his character, to stay right in line with God's word. You know, Peter, bless his heart, he loved God. He loved the Lord. He followed after him, but he was hot-headed, shoot off at the mouth, do things. And that night they came to get Jesus. He pulled that sword out and he cut that man's ear off. Now he felt like he was in the right because they're coming to get the Lord. And he loved the Lord. And so he's thinking this is a justifiable act. But Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, put that sword up. He said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. All that take up the sword perish by it. And so he said, Peter, appreciate it. Did he just fix that man's ear, got rid of the evidence, just cleaned it up, and taught Peter a lesson? Listen, just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's not right. And this, who knows what this guy thought after that? Maybe he just went away and said, man, I'm not going to be a part of locking up a man that just healed me. You know, I don't know. It doesn't say it, but if we take up those things that are destructive, it's going to infect our life and affect our life, and it can destroy us. We don't need that. We just need the truth. The truth always prevails. The truth always prevails. The scripture tells us you can't do anything against the truth but for it. It doesn't matter. Truth is going to be truth, no matter what nobody says. No matter how, you know, I know people that they will lie. They will lie. You could go outside and both be looking at the blue sky. I said, man, what a blue sky. And they said, that sky ain't blue, it's red. Just lie. But it doesn't matter what they say because the truth is, it's blue. So let them say, quit worrying about so much about the lies. They lied, Pastor, they lied. Okay, God will deal with it. Liars ain't got a pretty future if they don't change. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. It ain't a good end for liars. The Bible says God hates lying. He hates it. He said, people that lie and love to make a lie, he said, go into the fire. You want to get your kids at an early age and help them not to lie? Tell them they go into the fire if they lie. It worked. My kids won't lie to me. I'm like, you know what happens to liars? What, Daddy? Fire. I don't want to go to the fire. You better start telling the truth. You say, oh, that's cruel. It's the truth. Train up a child in the way it should go. Everybody's like, Pastor, well, they turned out great. Y'all turned out wonderful. Thank the Lord. Scripture, do it. Proverbs 20 and 22. Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he will save you. Just let God handle it. Let God get you out of it. If somebody starts up with you, let God handle it. Just give it to the Lord. Tell them, I'm about to tell the Lord on you. I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to pray. Hey, I hate you. I don't care how you can't stop me from praying. I'm going to pray. It'd be like coals of fire on your head. I know. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs 24 and 29, say not, I will do so to him as he has done to me. Well, they started. They did it first. They did it to me. But the scripture says, say not. Don't say it. Don't live that kind of life, because the Bible says how you speak you speak out of the abundance of your heart. That's the way you think. That's the way you live your life. Don't be that kind of person that says, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to hurt them because they hurt me. I will do so to him as he's done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Don't say that. Don't do that. You ever heard of Confucius? You know who that is? Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves. Because revenge just kills you. It kills your character. It kills who you are. It kills your spirit. It kills your joy. When you are so wrapped up on this journey of revenge, it just keeps the wounds that would be healed open. You could be better, except you got to get them back. You could be going on living your life, but I got to get them back. It consumes you. You wonder what they're posting. I wonder what they're saying. You're so eat up with it that they could post a picture of macaroni and cheese and you would think it's about you. That's the truth. Everything I know they're throwing shade at me. That's what it is. They're coming after me. That picture of that dog, they're coming after me. Because you just eat you up. You got to get that stuff out. One man said revenge is a dish best served cold. I say it's a dish best not served at all. Just don't do it. Don't destroy your character just to prove yourself right. If you're right, God will prove it. Yeah? But if God be for us, then who can be against us? And I know people can truly, I'm looking at the time, I know people can truly wrong us and hurt us, but we have to stay in God's word. We've got to do it. Marcus Aurelius said the best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injury. Don't be like the one that hurt you. Don't be like the one that come after you. Don't do that. Paul said it like this, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Revenge makes you a prisoner. You become a slave. It changes you. The paradox of vengefulness is that it makes men dependent upon those who harm them, believing that their release from pain will come when their tormentor suffers. You think the only way I can get any relief is if they hurt. You become a prisoner, a slave to them. You're dependent now on the one that you're after. You've ever seen the movie The Princess Bride? You know who Inigo Montoya is? You know what he's doing through the whole movie? And he's been doing all his life? He's looking for the six-fingered man. Because you killed my father, prepare to die. That's it. He tells you a little backstory. He's been doing that since he was a kid. He's been looking for this guy. He finally finds him at the end, and he kills him. And then he looks at one guy and he says, I've been in the revenge business so long, I don't know what else to do. It's consumed me to the point that I have no other purpose now in my life, that this is over with. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that become who you are. In Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to try to stop right on 8, Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how it happens. Overcome evil with good. That's the power. Jesus said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. And sometimes that power is just doing good. The Bible says that a soft answer can turn away wrath. That's how powerful a soft, kind answer is. Isn't that something? That's amazing. I love it. Psalm 37 and 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And if you think you don't have control over it, listen to this. Proverbs 19 and 11, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You know, we'll say, well, it's at their discretion, whatever they want to do. Well, you can make the decision to not lose your cool. You can be angry and sin not. Was it right? No. Did it hurt you? It did. But that doesn't mean you lash out, that you get revenge. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. To have wise control, to be patient. A wise person will ignore or forget. He does not insist on revenge because he knows that these temporary troubles, these trials and these tests of this life, they don't mean anything. This light affliction is just a moment. It's just a moment. Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. If you suffer as an evildoer, that's bad. But he said, if you suffer for doing good, then the Spirit of God rests upon you. Well, who can beat that? God's a comforter. Last scripture, you can stand with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3 and 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, or in other words, be loving to the brethren. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but on the contrary, blessings. Knowing that you are therefore unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. If you'll bless them that curse you, you're going to inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Jesus said, there's none good but God. Who's going to hurt you? Who can hurt you or do if you follow God? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they're going to be ashamed that falsely accuse your good behavior in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Just be good, do good, follow the Lord, seek God, let God fight your battles. Just because you can. God gives you free will. He doesn't take your free will away. But if we will look at every situation through the lens, through the filter of Scripture, it's going to help you make that right decision every time. And one man said it, I've heard it said by several, but that the best revenge is just to live well. They want you to fall. They want you to fail. They want you to be tore up. They want you to have trouble. You know what? Just go on and live good. Just keep praising God. Just keep loving God. Just keep serving God. And it's going to be a blessing for you. Years ago, before we were pastoring, there were some things that happened at the church that we came up in, and the church was kind of falling apart. There was a lot of stuff just going on. There was one guy that was really, really causing some problems. And he was directing it toward our family. Not just my wife and kids, but just our family extended and all. And I tell you, I was getting fed up. And I could feel myself getting a little fleshy. And I thought, this guy don't know who he's messing with. I'm about to come out of retirement. But one night, Sister Becky, Rebecca Sweat, her dad, Brother Philip Fuller, he came to me. I was at the back of the church, and he came up to me and he said, the Lord wanted me to tell you this. He said, you're going to have an opportunity just like David had with Saul to get somebody. He said, it's going to present itself and you'll have every opportunity to get him. He said, but if you do, it's going to go against you. He said, but I want you to know it's coming. The Lord said it was coming, and it did. I had the opportunity. I could have said a lot of things, done a lot of things, could have proved a lot of things. And instead, I just shut my mouth, went on and just served the Lord, did our best. Many years later, me and that brother reconciled. Things are fine. He's doing good where he's at now. We've got a great little family now. I'm telling you, just do good. Just keep serving God. Was it hard? Yeah, it was hard. But I wanted to please God. I want to please the Lord. And I wouldn't wish him to be lost. And I didn't want him laying awake at night thinking of ways to kill me. I want everybody to just have peace. And God blessed us and has continued to bless us. Do I get it right all the time? Certainly not. But I strive every day to be better. Just because you can do it, church, doesn't mean you should. Trust God and follow him. Amen? Praise God. I know the Lord gave me this for somebody. Somebody in this room is going through it. And you've got an opportunity before you right now, just like David, to really fire back. To give them your 2 cents. To tell them, give them your peace of mind. To give them what for down the country or whatever you want to call it. Don't do it. They hurt somebody real close to me, Pastor. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just go ahead and give it to God. Just keep serving God. Keep praising God. Keep worshiping. Keep going on. And let them see it don't bother me. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be who I said I was. I'm going to be a person that's chasing after God. I'm not getting caught up in all this world and stuff. I'm going to serve you, God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.